Yes, Lord. Yes, we believe and we trust your word. Speak to our hearts now, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're seated already. The scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Let's read it together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The word of the Lord for the people of God. After Moses, the great leader of Israel, died, the people grieved and mourned him for 30 days. Then God called Joshua to succeed Moses. Notice, this was a very emotional context. Moses had been the only leader who the people had known. Joshua had been an assistant to Moses, sort of what an armor bearer was to David. Joshua was trained up in subjection and under command. The most effective leaders are those who have learned to walk in obedience, in submission. Joshua was intimately acquainted with Moses. He was in the same spirit. When God came to talk to Joshua, he basically said, "Though my servant Moses is dead, the work must go on. Get up and join me." It was time to cross the Jordan River. They could not afford to get stuck in the grieving. It's very important for us to exercise healthy grieving, but not to get stuck in it. We all grieve in different ways. There's about 5 stages of grief, and it's important that we do that. Some people spiritualize everything. Their husband died or their child died. "Oh, I'm fine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." Come on. While others will be grieving forever and ever, and they get stuck and they cannot do anything. We need to be able to exercise, put into practice healthy grieving, acknowledge it. It's okay to cry. It's okay to acknowledge that we are in pain. It's a sign that we love the person or the thing that we've lost. And so God came to Joshua personally, not in a dream like he did to Joseph. Remember, we talked about Joseph. He commissioned Joshua to move forward. This is a reminder that when a man or a woman of God dies, God does not die. The work, the ministry, life must go on. As you probably know, none of us are indispensable. We think we are. We're not. None of us are irreplaceable. When God has work to do, he will either find or make an instrument to do it. God tells Joshua, "Arise and go finish what I began through my servant Moses." I really feel for Joshua. After his commission, his first solo task was massive. He was called to lead the people in the crossing of the Jordan River. And the river was at flood stage, overflowing its banks with snow that had melted from Mount Hermon. This was a trial to Joshua's faith. Has your faith ever been tried? It's one of those times that you want to say, "Lord, you call me, but I thought it would be easier." This was a major trial. Oh, what an obstacle that Jordan River was. Let me tell you what I've learned. Obstacles and challenges come our way to delay the process. But it's not the size of the obstacle. It's the size of our faith. And the greatest obstacle is not the one in front of us. It's the one inside of us. Many times, we are our greatest obstacle because of the inner vows that we've made. I'll never love again. I'll never go there again. I'll never allow anyone to hurt me. I'll never do it that way. Be careful with those inner vows. God tried Joshua's faith. But God had also told him that he would be with him. There was no other way to get to Canaan, the promised land, but by crossing the Jordan. Obstacles and stumbling blocks help our faith to grow. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, before you know it, you got wings for arms, right? As we get older. But all of a sudden, you start going to the gym or you get yourself some weights and you start exercising. And wow, something you didn't know you had comes up. Because we started to exercise. Same thing with faith. How would you know the measure of faith that you have if trials and obstacles don't come your way and you exercise it? The kind of faith that God wants us to have, it's a kind of faith that doesn't run away from challenges and obstacles, but faces them head on, knowing that he who called us promised to be with us. Again, it's all about perspective. And perspective, your perspective, is more powerful than reality. We choose what to focus on. The obstacles, the challenges, or on God, the one who called us. You know what, friends? If life gives you lemons, open up a lemonade stand and make the best lemonade the world has ever tasted. We choose how we are going to react. When we open our hearts and our lives to Jesus, you and I are not invited to a life of complacency. Absolutely not. We are invited to a life of risk, challenges, glorious adventures, and conquering faith. In Joshua's situation, God had given the Israelites the land of Canaan, but they had to go in and possess it, take possession of it. They had to overcome the obstacles, and they did through having a measure of conquering faith in the God who had called them. God did not make a path of dry land for them until they began to walk in the river. Why? I believe it was because God wanted to know if they would be willing to trust him and to exercise faith. And they did. And God honored them. Then, when they got to Jericho, they could not go in because of the walls. The city was shut tight. It was fortified. Another obstacle. Then God gave them specific instructions. They didn't have a committee meeting to see how are we going to bring those walls down. They went into prayer mode, and God gave him specific instructions as to how they were to do it. It was a divine plan, listen, to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days, with seven priests carrying seven shofars, and on the seventh day, march around the city seven times, and then blow the shofar. And at the last blow, it was supposed to be a long blast. And at that sound, the people were to shout, and the walls would come tumbling down. Perhaps many said, "What a silly plan. Who came up with that plan? We've never done that before in this church." There's a lot for us to learn from this story of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt into the promised land. They were a bunch of grumblers. They grumble against God. They grumble against Moses. You know what happened to them? They died. Never made it to the promised land. And poor Moses had to deal with that. And guess what? Grumbling people are still around us. They're in the church. They're in our families. You might be one of them. Yet the Bible talks a lot about that. And against that, God doesn't treat grumbling and complaining lightly. As a matter of fact, the verse that we're learning with the children every week tells us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others. In Numbers chapter 16, we read about all the people that died because of the grumbling. Let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. There's nothing more divisive and destructive than grumbling. It destroys families, relationships. It divides and destroys churches. If you are one of those that love to grumble, stop it. Stop it. Zippity, 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 da. If it is not your story, don't tell it. You don't have a right to it, do you? Do I? No. Grumbling can bring destruction. Many years ago, I did a mission trip to Mexico. I've never forgotten this story. And we stayed at this family's house that hosted us. And one day, the rest of the group left and I stayed behind. And I started talking to the lady that was hosting us. And the conversation came up as we walked out, and she told me a tragedy happened in that house right across from our house. I said, "What happened?" She says, "You know, usually here we lose power every so often. And one day, the neighbor next to that house came knocking and said, 'You know, I lost power. I don't have any water. I need to take a shower before I go to work.'" The guy, the husband in that house, was the one that answered and said, "My wife is gone. I'm leaving right now. You're welcome to come in. Make sure you lock the door when you're done." Another neighbor thought that she saw what was going on, but she didn't, and called the husband of the neighbor that was going in to take the shower and say, "Your wife is having an affair. I just saw her go into that house." That man went looking for the other man and shot him. That's what complaining, grumbling, bickering, gossiping will do. It destroys, my brothers and sisters. Regardless of all that was happening around Joshua, Joshua obeyed. He obeyed the plan that God had given them. And as you probably know, he exercised conquering faith, and the walls came tumbling down. You see, obedience involves risk-taking. If you want to walk in obedience to God, get ready to take huge risks. Sometimes to be criticized or misunderstood, but you stay the course. Now, how could Joshua remain faithful while facing so many obstacles? He remained faithful because he held on to the promise. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's my life verse. And one of my dreams was to go back to Cuba and to see. I was like Moses growing up in two cultures. I came as a little girl. I wanted to go back. I wanted to see what had happened, what I left behind. Many years went by. Of course, my mom and dad were totally against it. My dad had promised never to go back to Cuba until Fidel was no longer there. Of course, that never happened, so he never went back. And so many years went by, and finally, through divine intervention, I met Bishop Pereira, and he invited me, and I was able to take. It's just that God really looks at our hearts and our dreams. Before I met him, I was appointed by the bishop at that time to be part of a covenant and to lead it. It was called then the Florida-Cuba Covenant. And I was able to lead it for 4 or 5 years and to put the manuscripts together and all of that. And I was able then, again, divine appointment to meet the bishop, and he invited me to come to Cuba. I got on that plane against my mom and dad's will, but I believed that I had a calling. And when that plane was about to land, I started sweating, the kind of sweat that is fear, agony. I thought to myself, what have I done? What am I going to do? I don't want to be here. I don't even want to get off of this plane. And I was reminded of this scripture over and over again. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you. And see, while all this was happening, I was having flashbacks. Because I must have been about 4 years old. We lived in Guantanamo. My dad used to work in the base. A lot of his family used to work in the base. And my dad used to have this little Fiat, this little car. And the street where we lived was a one-way, so he had to go around the block to get to our house. And as a little kid, remember, back in those days, you didn't have seatbelts or anything. I used to love to turn around and to be the first one to look back to see what was happening at my house. Well, that day, maybe I shouldn't have. My house was surrounded by soldiers with those big guns with knives at the end of it. And I started yelling, saying, something is happening, Daddy, something is happening. When we got there, my dad was not allowed to come into the house. Instead, he was handcuffed. And I could remember till this day yelling to the soldiers and saying, don't take my daddy, please don't take my daddy. Because at that point, the government was gathering all the men in the island and taking them to concentration camps, where many of them died. Their families never saw them again. And I was having those flashbacks and thinking, what am I going to do here? I am saying this to say that God is more than able. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what our past is. He can still call us and use us for his glory. Because he is a God of purpose. Who would have thought that Joshua would be the one leading the people to the promised land? Joshua's success was based, as I said, on his level of obedience and conquering faith. Over and over, in those verses of scriptures from 1 to 9, God says to him, do not be discouraged. Do not fear. I am with you. You know how it was with your parents when they used to tell you the same thing over and over again? It meant that they meant business, right? The same thing with God. Because he knew what Joshua was going to have to face. Now, in this verse, God called Joshua to do three things with his word. In verse 8 and 9, proclaim it, speak it out loud. 2, meditate. To meditate means to ponder, muse, read it, think about it. Immerse yourself in his word. And 3, put it into practice. Do it. Put into practice the word of God. The Apostle James calls us through the Holy Spirit to be doers of his word. My friends, in order to conquer the challenges, the stumbling blocks, the obstacles that come our way, we must study his word and put it into practice. God has provided a way for all of us to walk out of the trials and the tribulations. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We'll walk through it. He has provided a way. The only thing you and I have to do is practice conquering faith. The choice is ours. Succumb to the obstacles and the challenges, or be able to walk right through it and be more than a conqueror. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. It is powerful. It never comes back void. Thank you for calling us to be doers of your word and not just listeners. We pray this morning that you would fill our hearts with that kind of faith that is able to move mountains. Give us the measure of faith that we need today, Lord. Help us to believe that with you all things are possible. Help us to be like Joshua. Though he was in the midst of trials and temptations and grumbling people, he still stayed the course. For he who promised is faithful. Help us to know you more, to love you, and to obey you. This we pray in the name of Jesus, name above all name. Amen.